Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Ballpark Beef. Run that music.
Yeah. What's up, Ballpark Beef fans? How are we doing today? We are back with another episode, and we got some baseball juice. We got some stuff, baby. First week of baseball's in the books. We got around first seven games for most teams. Some teams have been rained out. There's some really shitty weather in the Northeast. So we got some games for some teams, some games, not games for other teams. So we're going to talk baseball, big baseball podcast today. We got a lot to talk about maybe some teams that are off to a disappointing start, teams that are off to a hot start, and then teams that we think are just right. So let's get into it, boys. How we doing this week? As always, Nick and Jimmy are back with me.
Your week was good. I'm approaching my first month at the new job, you know, for almost a full week of full baseball. Life's going good, man.
Stupid ass. You sound stupid for that. Can't stand the Cardinals and I can't stand the Yankees. It's been a shit week. Just being honest.
All right.
So funny. He says it's a shit week, but that's not the reason why.
So let us kind of go into why it's been a shit week for Jimmy. Let's go into the actual reason. I know it's very easy to overreact, especially as a Mets fan, because they've felt so much misery for years. We're only four games into the year, and Mets fans are already like, oh, the season's over. Trade McNeil. Get rid of Nimmo. Pete sucks. Don't sign him. You know, it's like four games. There's still 158 games left, guys. I understand they're struggling, but there's 158 games left.
You can't win the season in the first week.
You can't. I mean, yeah, the Mets look like complete dog shit, but I mean, teams go on their stretches. Like, what if the Mets start 0-4, right? And then they go on to win maybe their next 10. Like, it's very possible in baseball. But Jimmy, you want to break down the Mets start for us?
The New York Mets in the 2024 season, being so young, but it's not been very good. It's not been very good. There are some bright spots, though. Francisco Alvarez is looking like a stud, looking like the MVP caliber player that I think he will be. Brett Beatty, not too bad of a start. Starling Marte, good start to him as well. He had a slow spring training, but has rebounded. The real concern here is Jeff McNeil, Francisco Lindor, and Brandon Nimmo, all hitting sub 100 on the season, four games in. It's not looking good at the plate. This lineup is not performing. Our role players like DJ Stewart and Zach Short making errors, not looking good at the plate either. It's been a tough four games. Looking forward to JD Martinez coming to bolster the lineup. We just signed Julio Teheran to help the rotation. McGill going down with an injury is kind of devastating. This is probably the worst four games you could possibly have to start a season.
Yeah, I mean, you guys played four games and have eight runs. It's not a way you're going to win baseball games.
I think we had six in one game. Let that sink in.
So you got shut out in almost two.
Yep, so been pretty atrocious.
The thing is, you guys played two mid teams. You know, I don't think the Brewers are anything special. Granted, you only played one game against Detroit, but I mean, you lost 5-0. Mets aren't off. They're not off to the start that you wanted to see.
Yeah, it's trash. But there are some bright spots, and here they are. So, Mets as a team are fourth highest in average exit velocity this year, the third lowest on batting average and balls in play, which means that they're getting incredibly unlucky. They're scorching the ball, but right at people. So there is a factor of luck in this, and I think that will turn around. This lineup is too good to continue being this bad. And Brandon Nimmo is one of six players in the major leagues to have 100 mile per hour batted balls in every game he's played. One of six. And he's batting 063. So you make that make sense. He's scorching it, but it's getting caught. It's going right to people.
It's like Nick's expected, you know?
Hey, like I don't care how hard you hit the ball. If you're getting out, you ain't doing your job.
Well, to a point, yes, but one of the jobs of the hitter is to smash the ball. And if you're doing that, but you're getting out, then that's just luck at that point, really.
Yeah, I mean that, or they might just have to take a slightly little bit of a different approach.
Yeah, hit them where they ain't.
Yeah.
So
my theory.
How do the Mets turn this around? What needs to be done? Like, what's going on?
The Mets are going very below their mean. So meaning they're having really bad luck. They're not playing very well. They need to regress back to their mean, which is more of a 500 ball club. Maybe, you know, five games over 500 ball club in that range. And once they get to that point, maybe have a little bit of a hot streak, they can get back in the swing of things. You know, the other thing about this is a lot of World Series champions have had four-game losing streaks. A lot of World Series champions in this chat have had even longer than four games losing streaks. So I'm talking about Yankees lost nine in a row in 1953 when they won the World Series. And the Cardinals in 2006 lost like eight or seven in a row during their season as well. So it happens. Happens to the best of us.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first week. Definitely don't have to like be sweating about it. You know, they're off to a slow start.
Yeah, like I said, there's still about somewhere around 150 games left. So plenty of time for them to make up. As of right now, they don't look good. They're not hitting good. I'm glad Luis Severino's a dud. But, you know, the Mets could turn it around. They got Julio Teheran, who's...
Three of Sevy's runs were changed to unearned, by the way.
So, you know, they're getting a dog in Julio, you know. The Mets, man, they're a joke. All right, Nick, tell us about the Cardinals. Tell us
about the Cardinals. Had to throw in the joke right there.
Huh? Tell us about the Cardinals, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals are about as expected as I thought they would be. They lost 3 out of 4 to the Dodgers. They had a chance of winning 2 of the games, but the bullpen blew it. So, I mean, I'm pretty happy about that series. And then taking 2 out of 3 against the Padres, I would say starting the season out 3-4 is about expected. And I would take it as a Cardinal fan going to the West Coast early. No one's really having like a superstar start except Mason Wynn. 315 with a 607 OPS. The thing I want to point out, though, is the starters were a lot better than what we expected.
Hold on. Let me stop you real quick.
What?
Did you say a 6.7 OPS is good?
Well, I'm just saying that's like our best hitter. I went looked at average first and then just right after that.
Average first. Brendan Donovan's your best player right now.
No, he is, but... For Mason Wynn being a rookie and batting 313.
You got to forget it. Remember, he only looks at average, Jimmy.
Average, no expected stats.
I don't look at expected stats because I don't live off expectations. Live on reality.
Anyway. The reality of batting 300.
Excuse me, your team is 0-4. You should not be allowed to talk.
You got 4 losses too. Shut up.
We also lost 3 to the Dodgers. Anyway. Gross,
by the way. Can we talk about Mookie Betts?
No. Yeah, the starters for the first go around, they gave the Cardinals a chance to win every single game they pitched, and that's not what we expected, as we all said in the previous episode. So overall, I'm pretty satisfied with the first week of baseball for St. Louis.
I like that for you, Nick. You know, we kind of got on you about the Cardinals' shitty rotation, and I think they might have a better rotation than the Mets right now. I think that can be said. You know, you guys didn't get swept by the Dodgers, probably, you know, the best team in the league. And, you know, you're holding your own. To say, good job, Cardinals. Proud of you. All right, let's talk about the real team in this podcast, okay? If you guys want to, you know, go take a nap or something, I'll be here for a little bit. But the Yankees are 6-1. They've just finished up their road trip. They swept the Astros, and they just won a series against the Diamondbacks, 2-1. The Yankees look legit. I know it's only 7 games in. Like I said, a lot of shit can happen. Judge can bang his toe on a wall again and be out for 3 months. But it looks so good so far. I don't know what else to say. Soto is just him, capital him. He's batting 345 with a 924 OPS. That's a good OPS, by the way, Nick. We have another guy who Jimmy was super low on, who looks like he's going to have a crazy breakout year. And that's Mr. Anthony Volpe. He is our leader in average OPS. I mean, and slug great in everything. Okay. Volpe is going to be a breakout year. He's keeping his swing level. He He's not trying to whip it up in the air. And Volpe looks really good, man. I'm real happy with his development and his progress this offseason. I think he's really going to take off. And yeah, the Yankees are exciting. Pitching's holding up. I was a bit worried with Cole being out, but Rodon's been pitching well. Stroman had a good start. Nestor Cortez looks a little shaky, a little meh. But rotation looks good. Our bullpen's probably the best in the league. But yeah, Yankees look good, man.
I'd be very surprised that you did not mention Oswaldo Cabrera at all.
I was going to mention him, but I feel like I'm just rambling at this point. But
he's batting
since you
409 with a 1.186 OPS.
Are you looking at Oswaldo or Volpe?
Oswaldo.
Because I have Oswaldo here at 346 with a 1,008 OPS. So
it says Volpe's batting 529 with a 1.5.
Well, you don't have updated stats then.
You got old stats, kid. Stat guy. Get your stats updated.
That guy got old stats. Come on, bro.
I'm on Bleacher Report, buddy, so I just go off whatever it says.
Buddy. Nick.
Baseball Reference. I'm sorry.
You're getting a pay cut or something here. I don't know.
Game ended literally 3 hours ago.
The producer might have to write you up. I don't know what's going on here, but you're a little behind this year.
Regardless of what the numbers are exactly are, Oswaldo Cabrera is just as good as Anthony Volpe right now.
So, yes, Oswaldo Cabrera is having a very good start to the year. We thought he would just be a utility guy, but with the injury of LeMahieu, he's now the starting third baseman, and he is playing very well. He's a 346 average, 1,008 OPS, two homers, and the most RBIs on the team. So, guys are contributing. The lineup is deadly from top to bottom, except Stanton. Stanton he's burnt out. He's burnt toast. You throw him anything but a fastball, he's probably going to swing and miss. So, as long as you have that scouting report, you'll probably strike him out. But yeah, that's all I got on the Yankees. I don't want to keep going because I can all night. I like what I see.
Judge is looking pretty dog so far, too.
Yeah, looking better than Francisco Lindor.
No doubt.
Yeah, I mean, Judge is struggling, but again, it's the first seven games, right, guys? Like, Lindor can go 8 for his next 10. Like, it's possible. First seven games, there's not much to it. It's just good seeing the Yankees sweep the Astros and then, you know, win a series against the defending NL champs. So, it's exciting. That's all. Not going to get too high on my horses here. Not going to say
this. You might as well join them.
Nah, it's too early for that. I'd sound like a Mets. Everybody's
already saying it's the Yankees' year.
I'd sound like a Mets fan at that point. So I'm just going to relax and let the season play out.
I'm not doomsday. I'm not doomsday like these Mets fans on Twitter are.
Crazy, dude.
Remember what Jimmy said though. The Mets are the hottest team in April.
Not right now.
Even though they started 0-4, they could win, you know, like you said, 10, 15. But
back to
we're the coldest team in March. We haven't played much in April.
But back to my whole point on like how it's too early. Like the Pirates are 5-0. That's not sustainable. Like it's not gonna finish like that. The Detroit Tigers are 4-0. Like, yeah, I know they played the Mets. Woo. Who else is playing good? Like the Angels are 4-2. Like
the Red Sox are 5-2.
Like there's just random teams that it happens, man. There's 162 games for a reason. But yeah, it's not sustainable for some of these teams.
I will ask at what point in the season, like at game wise, do you start thinking like, hey, my team is actually, you know, this good and my team's like actually this bad?
2 weeks before the All-Star break.
Yeah. You can't
So what is that about, like teams, 70 games?
You're the stat guy. Check it out. But I'm just saying
I'm not counting the games.
Just look at like All-Star break record from 2023 and just subtract like 10 or 12 games. Yeah, that's about the time where you start like thinking, okay, what positional needs do we have? Pitching always, you know, do we need an upgrade at third base, whatever, in the trade market before the trade deadline? It's kind of when you start looking. So
yeah, I agree with you. About 2 weeks before the All-Star break, you can kind of get an idea of where your team's at and kind of what kind of mood you should be in based off that. But sometimes, you know, once the All-Star break hits, there's still like, what, 80 games left?
Yeah, so it's roughly 70 to 80 games 2 weeks before the All-Star break.
Exactly. So, like, there's still 80 games left. You never know what can happen. But most of the time, you can weed out those shitty teams at that point. But yeah,
yeah, you know where your team stands on July 1st.
Yes, yeah.
That's the date.
Yeah, you know, it's too early, guys. Mets Twitter, relax. Kodai's gonna come back. You're getting JD at DH. Like, just relax a little bit. All right, you guys look like prime Yankee Twitter. Like, it's kind of funny. Just relax, okay?
Like, hey, you guys could be the Marlins.
Well, the Marlins aren't the Mets.
That's a dumpster fire.
Yeah, the Marlins are not the Mets. The Mets are, I think, a much better organization, and they have better leaders. But it's just, to me, the Mets, like, they don't look like they're not that they're not having fun. They're just not enjoying baseball right now. I don't know.
There is zero juice.
Yeah.
There is no energy. It's not aggression. It's complacency, and just, you have to go get the game. The game can't just keep coming to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You need a sense of urgency, a little bit of fire in your ass. And I think once you get a win or two, that'll naturally come.
Yeah, for sure. Like, once you feel the win, it's kind of funny. It reminds me of when we played high school baseball. Once we felt a win, you know, which was very rare, you know, it kind of got us like going, you know, we maybe picked up a win or two in a row and then lost five in a row. But something similar to that, it gets you get more confidence. It's confidence. Like, if a hitter, like, for example, Judge, I hate to keep talking about the Yankees, but I don't. A guy starts out, you know, 1-for-15. All right. He last night, he finally kind of gets some good swings. Today, he has a home run and a double. It just takes confidence. That's all it is. If the Mets can get some confidence going, like Lindor goes 2-for-4 tomorrow, right? They're playing tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got
it. Yeah, he goes 2-for-4 tomorrow. And then maybe next couple games, he has a few more hits. Like, it's a roller coaster effect. There's ups and downs in a baseball year. So, Mets fans, relax. Take it easy. You have 150 games left. It's not the end. Trust me. You're going to see some exciting prospects come up this year. You may win more than 80 games. Like, it's very possible. It's not a terrible team. You have a good lineup. As much as I badger Jimmy about how bad the Mets lineup is, it's good. It's deep. Like, if they play to their potential, it's a good lineup. I will say one thing. Why wasn't Rhys Hoskins thrown out right away? Like, what kind of balls does this team have right now? Like, there's no moxie. You guys need something. That would have woke your team up. You know, like, that would have got you guys going.
One of my favorite memories of the 2015 Mets season was when Noah Syndergaard threw behind the Royal hitter to lead off, like, one of the games of the World Series. And just, like, the juice and the moxie to do that was insane.
Yeah.
Rhys Hoskins, so here's my take on it. I don't think this is such old news, by the way, but it's okay. His slide was completely legal.
Yeah.
But he targeted McNeil's back leg with his spike. And by doing that, his body was going towards his front knee, which could have either taken out his ankle that he was aiming for or his knee, which would have been even worse. So was his slide legal? Yes. Was it dirty? Also, yes.
Yeah.
So McNeil has every right to get pissed, and he throws as much of a tantrum as anybody in the league. But I think throwing at Rhys the first at bat, get your business out of the way and move on. That's how you police the game.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this. McNeil was a bit of a crybaby about it. Like, I understand, like,
that's him, though.
I know, but, like, dude, come on. Like, you're acting like a child at this point. Like, I enjoyed seeing Rhys Hoskins do the crying, you know. But what they just need something. They need like a walk-off dinger from Pete or something. Something to get them going. The Mets will have it soon. Mets fans, you'll be all right. Trust me. It's all right. Like David Stern said, this isn't going to be your year. So remember that too. Like, you have the potential to make the playoffs, but it's not like you're all in this year. You know, you're still going to sign Soto next year. Don't forget. And you got to sign Pete.
He's having a real good tryout in New York so far.
Yeah, he's going to stay with the New York Yankees. Well, all right, but we just kind of rambled on about the Mets. But let's go into some football news, some maybe a little dynasty talk. There's not much dynasty talk, really. Maybe just a few things here and there. But I think the biggest... Yeah, that's fine. I think the biggest football news probably the past week would be what happened today. Stephon Diggs going to the Houston Texans is just crazy to think. They now have Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and Stephon Diggs. That receiving core is capital D disgusting. With CJ Stroud at quarterback, Joe Mixon and, you know, Damian Pierce at running back, Dalton Schultz at tight end. That's damn. Did they have a rebuild? Talk about completing a rebuild. That team's going to be very exciting to watch next year. I'm excited. And, you know, I have CJ Stroud as my fantasy quarterback, so it just makes me feel even better. And yeah, Texans look like the real deal, man. They're excited.
I run that division for multiple years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. What an acquisition. Diggs is in his twilight years, I guess, is the term.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's towards the end of his playing career, I would say, on the second half at least. But is he a serviceable number two wide receiver behind Nico Collins? Or even better, if this is possible, him being the number three option behind Nico and Tank? You can't get much better at a three.
No.
Than Stephon Diggs. So
that has to be the best receiving core in the league. Sorry to cut you off, but
no, we'll take that to the bank.
It has to. Like,
that team is going to be exceptionally scary as long as Diggs understands his role.
That's another thing I was going to bring up. Is Diggs has like this thing in him where, like, if he doesn't get receptions or involved, he seems to act like a crybaby. Now, we'll see how that works out. Like, is he the number one in Houston? Like, is he going to be the number one? I don't think so. I think Nico Collins at this point might be a better receiver. Tank Dell is on the rise. I know he's going to be coming back from injury. So we'll see. But I want to see how that's going to work out. If, you know, they kind of broke it down like, hey, you could be the number three option at one point. You know, like, who knows? But now, on the other hand, Buffalo, they got Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir. So they're thin. Makes it a little easier for the Dolphins now. Because Josh Allen's going to be throwing to who? Cares? Nobody.
Bottom. The question is, does James Cook's value go up because Diggs is gone?
I think it stays the same. I don't.
Stays the same?
Yeah, I mean, like, they honestly, Diggs had, like, didn't have a crazy year last year. He wasn't targeted as much. I think Jimmy got rid of him at a perfect time last year. Like, after Jimmy got rid of him, he just had like the most shit year ever. So that was a great trade on Jimmy's part.
That's what you got to do. You have to recognize these trends, bro. You have to be a good GM.
Yeah.
It's okay to have the vets, but you got to move them at the right time. And I moved both of my veteran wide receivers, both north of 30 at the right time for the right assets.
Yep.
Cooper Kupp.
Oh, yeah.
And I also have all of my quarterbacks have improved their situations. Gardner Minshew going to the Raiders to be the guy, that's improved. Jared Stidham is the number one quarterback option in Denver right now. All of my backup quarterbacks have improved their standing. And then I obviously have Brock Purdy and Anthony Richardson. So you want to talk about dynasty corner? My quarterback room got a little bit better and I didn't have to do anything.
So luck of the Irish right there.
That means there's no pressure in this draft. Which gets us to our next topic. I have a pretty good topic.
Okay.
So I think the consensus number one quarterback is Caleb Williams. I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of talk about who is the number two quarterback in this draft. Mm-hmm. Now, we got people thinking that there's going to be some trades up to go pick at number two and get J.J. McCarthy. I mean, you have Jaden Daniels and Drake May in that conversation. Michael Penix even, you know, throwing his hat in the ring. So who is your number two quarterback for this draft? Who are you most excited for other than Caleb Williams?
I like this. Okay. So I'm going to actually have a long breakdown here, if you guys don't mind. But I have tiers of quarterbacks. Tier one is Caleb Williams. I think he separates himself from anyone else. I don't care about the antics off the field. As long as the guy shows up, he's going to be the best quarterback in the draft. He has all the tangibles to be the best quarterback in this draft. QB two, I don't think it's J.J. McCarthy. I, like, yeah, he was part of a winning team, but he wasn't the main contributor of that team. Like, I don't see him being the number two pick. And then there's a guy like Jaden Daniels who's a fantasy guy's dream. He has rushing upside. He has a good arm. But my issue is in college, I was watching some tape. He takes a lot of hits. When he scrambles, he likes to take a lot of hits. And he's not always smart with how he takes hits. When you're in the NFL, if you take hits like that, you'll be out for the whole year like Anthony Richardson was. Okay, because Anthony Richardson thought, you know, he could run everything, and he got out. He was out for that year. My number two guy is Drake May. Drake May reminds me a little bit of Justin Herbert. Coming in, not the greatest stats, but he has like a slight rushing upside, very good arm, and I just like Drake May a lot. I just gave away my whole scouting report to Nick, so he's probably going to take the quarterback I want at this point. Hopefully he doesn't, or it's all smokescreen for him to take a quarterback I don't want, but he'll never know because I could be completely bullshitting right now because this could be a smokescreen. So my number two guy is Drake May. I like Drake May. I think he's a very interesting, I think he even has the potential to be better than Caleb Williams, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, literally what you said honestly meant nothing to me. My decision has been between Jaden Daniels and Drake May this entire time. But, I mean, it's good to have a quarterback that is able to run, but a quarterback that ends up like Anthony Richardson his rookie year is a quarterback I don't want. So, yeah, I mean, I was taking Drake May the entire time. What are you shaking your head
stand.
For?
I can't stand you. You find any way to badmouth my team and me, the Mets, Anthony Richardson on my dynasty team. Like, can you, like...
Hey, hold up. Did you just admit you're taking Drake May?
I did, yeah. But also,
if he's there...
It gets to me.
If he's there...
Actually, you're thinking of taking him?
I'm still waiting for a response about the IHOP shit.
He's paying $100 for next year.
All right, well, then it all depends on the number two overall pick.
Number two pick is either going to be Caleb or MHJ, depending on how it goes. Jack wants to move Jalen Hurts for a wide receiver and a pick. Now that I know you're taking Drake May, I might actually do that because I don't want Jaden Daniels. I just really don't, Jaden Daniels. Fuck so, you.
Okay, so here's the thing. You're overlooking Penix and McCarthy because I think that they're
dog shit. They're dog shit.
I think they're on the same level as Jaden Daniels.
I don't think so.
I have Caleb Williams, I have May, and then I have McCarthy and Penix kind of like 3A, 3B. And then I have Jaden Daniels after that because it's just too much risk. He doesn't take hits. He takes very ugly hits in college. And they're going to get even worse with bigger and faster and stronger players in the NFL.
Yeah. Well,
I think you're sleeping on that tier quarterback. But that being said, I love the drama at the top of the draft because I'm not involved in any of these quarterbacks. I'm not getting any of them. So by the time it gets to me at the 107, what are we looking at here?
The way you're talking doesn't make sense on how you're not going to get them. You're comparing two quarterbacks that are like 5-6 set in our eyes, but you have them as 3-4. So if they come to you, you're not going to have any hesitation of not taking them.
The issue is they're not going to come to me is because you're going to select a wide receiver and there's going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. taken too. And then, you know, there's also Romo Dunes, which is a very tasty pick for somebody else. So I don't know what the hell you're doing. Because you're taking one at three, and then you have 5 and 6 ahead of me. And are you going two quarterbacks? Are you going two wide receivers? Like, what are you doing? I don't know.
But you have the 7th pick, and you're saying there's 5 quarterbacks that have a chance of going in the top 5. I don't see 5 quarterbacks going before your pick.
I don't see 5 going before my pick?
You think 6 out of the first 5 picks are going to be quarterbacks?
Well, no. I think 6 out of the first 5 out of the first 6, yeah.
Nick, do you want the 104?
So you're just thinking that no one's going to take like a wide receiver or anything.
I think only Marvin Harrison Jr. Well, actually, I don't know. I don't fucking know, Nick.
Nick, do you want the 104?
Why?
I'll give you the 104 for the 105 and the 107.
Jimmy has the 107.
106.
I have the 105.
Yeah. The 104 for both of those. All right. No, no. Listen, I'll give you the 104 and my 204 for the 105 and 106. Send it into the commissioner.
Why would I do that?
You move up. You can get Drake May and Jaden Daniels.
By one spot.
Yeah.
No.
Then you don't get a wide receiver if you're looking for one.
I like my picks right now. I like 3, 5, and 6.
Four is a bad place in the draft.
That's fine, four, bro.
Four is a Mofongo place in the draft. Let's just say,
bro, that. It's just like he just broke my heart now because I really thought he was going Jaden Daniels.
So now, if you're saying four is a bad spot in the draft, why would I go to 5?
No, I'm saying you move up to 4 with the 5th.
I have the 3rd.
Yeah, dickhead.
I'm not really pressed about that because I also don't want any more like picks. You're asking for my... You're saying I'm going to give you the 104.
No, I'm giving you the 104.
I mean, you're giving me the 104 and I'm giving you the 5 and the 6?
Yes.
That's stupid.
I'm going to add another pick in there.
Why would I want to go up one pick to lose a player?
I'm adding another pick in there.
Yeah, a pick that's 12 picks later.
Yeah, that's value.
Okay, buddy. So you're basically saying that instead of having 3 out of the first 6 picks mine, I should have 2 of them so I can get 2 second round picks.
No, you'll get 2 fucking quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels and Drake May. Imagine that.
You said I wanted Drake May over him. Why would I want Jaden Daniels too?
It's a great draft.
I mean, maybe.
That's a great draft.
Maybe.
Or you get Drake May and Marvin Harrison Jr.
Maybe.
Oh, shot.
He shafted my whole plans. All right.
Well, no shot. Basically, what's going to happen this draft, it's going to go Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr. Nick's going to take May. John's going to do something stupid, probably take a quarterback there. Nick's going to take another quarterback and a wide receiver. I'm going to have, who am I going to have available? I'm going to have quarterback towards the bottom of my list available. I will have Nabbers or O'Doon's available, and I'll have Bowers available. So I'm sitting pretty. I'll have a quarterback, a wide receiver, and a tight end to pick. That's 7.
Yeah.
7's a fun place in the draft.
Yeah, sure is. 4 sucks cock, I'll tell you that.
Sure does.
4 sucks.
You got to either reach down for a quarterback or trade it away.
Or hope that maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. is still there.
There's no way. I can't believe that Jack is going quarterback.
I mean, I could see Marvin Harrison Jr. falling to 4th if Jack's trying to trade his quarterback.
He's trying to trade Jalen Hurts for a wide receiver 1 and a first round pick this year. That's the value I got today. Or an RB 1 and first round pick this year.
Only
he's not getting it from me.
Hurts, right?
Only Jalen Hurts.
I wonder what that trade would look like.
He doesn't want any of receivers.
Well, he ain't going to get any fucking high picks for it.
I asked him about that. But yeah.
I want to see what that looks like, though.
I guess that's all for tonight, right, guys?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, unless you want to do the lock of the week.
Let's do our lock of the week.
I just got one comment, though. Jack really said Kyler Murray was worth 3 firsts. Just let that sink in. And now he's got that price for Jalen Hurts. Crazy.
Friday, right?
Yes.
All right. Are we doing actual lock of the weeks or we're doing underdogs of the week?
We could do whatever your heart desires.
Let's do dogs of the week. Let's do dogs. All right.
Underdogs of the week on Friday the 5th.
Yes, sir. Dogs of the week. Let's see this.
Oh, that's going to be a good series this weekend.
Well, I bet dogs you this team's an underdog.
I got my dog.
Who's your dog?
Wait, can we make a rule? The dog has to be like at least 45% or lower.
Ugh, that's fine.
It can't be like 48 to 52.
I don't got a dog.
All right, he doesn't have a dog.
I bet. My underdog is the New York Mets against the Cincinnati Reds.
Damn, I was going to say that. It's crazy. I don't got a dog.
Not that many dogs.
Nah, there's not that many good dogs unless you're reaching at this point.
Well, if there's not any, then you can just go with what you want.
All right, I got a dog.
And what's your dog?
Got Logan Gilbert and the Mariners over the Brew Crew.
They're dogs?
Yep.
I got a dog. Yep. I'm taking Padres with Dylan Cease over the Giants and Jordan Hicks. That's my dog.
Well, there you have it, folks.
Those are the dogs of the week.
Ooh, ooh, ooh,
ooh. Ooh. Yankees new motto, dogs. All right, guys. Have a wonderful week. Happy Wednesday. Oh, no. Happy Thursday. We're recording a day late. I forgot. Happy Thursday. We'll catch y'all next week. Enjoy some baseball. Mets fans, chin up. Gets better from here. Peace out.